How wonderful, how marvelous, and my song shall ever be. How wonderful, how marvelous, that my Saviour died for me. Welcome to this message for Good Friday service, April the 18th, 2025. Read a short scripture from the Gospel of John 19, verse 30. Very well known, and I'm sure will be used throughout the church at this time. But let's read it. John 19, verse 30. When Yeshua had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When Yeshua had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. As we reflect upon these wonderful thoughts at this Easter time, may we be blessed, may we be enriched, and above all, may we be changed, better equipped to serve you in this earth. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. The title of this message, in line with the sentiment of this particular festival, Good Friday, is Back to the Cross. Back to the Cross. It is a time where we can devote more of our attention, perhaps, on the great sacrifice that Yeshua made for us, that fateful day many years ago. It's important to understand that, obviously, this shouldn't be the only time that we reflect on these things. The whole sacrament of communion is designed so that we can remind ourselves of what happened on a regular basis. Remember, the Lord said, "Remember me as often as you do this," indicating that it's something that we should be doing on a regular basis. That being said, however, at this Easter time, where the focus is on this event, we do well to reconsider some of the implications of what happened. It would be impossible to fathom the full depth of those words, "It is finished." But as we contemplate the completed work of Christ, we need to realize that this event is of significance to you and I on a daily basis, if we allow it to do so. That's the key, of course. And you see, by understanding or trying to extend our limited understanding to gain greater insight, the challenge comes to apply these wonderful truths to our lives. In doing so, not only enriching ourselves, not only enriching our personal walk with Almighty God, but making us a greater blessing to others. The cross is of great significance for a number of reasons, just a few of which, and I'm sure there are many, many more, many perhaps that we are unaware of. However, there are a few which I'd like to just consider this Good Friday. And hopefully, we will spend time contemplating these things and allowing them to change us. That's the heart of the cross. The cross changed everything. The cross was, in a sense, a historical crossroads. This is reflected in our dating system, as we all know, much as mankind would like to now change it. But the facts of the matter are that the calendars were all changed based on this great event. But you see, this crossroads obviously applies also in your and my life. The heart of this event is the fact that God took the initiative on our behalf. God did something for us that we could never ever do for ourselves. That's the heart of the gospel. It's the gospel of grace. Unmerited favor. If you contemplate Christ on the cross, he was, if we think about it, the only person who didn't need to be crucified, who didn't deserve to be crucified. The rest of us did, by the way, in our human nature, fallen nature. No matter how godly we think we are or good we have been in our own eyes, in the sight of God, all have sinned and fallen far short of His great, great standard. But you see, Christ, as it were, ticked all the boxes. He was without sin. He lived on this earth without sin. Just think about that. A man like you and I, subject to all the temptations common to man, passed through all of them, totally unscathed. Remarkable, if you think about it. Remember, he was a human like us. However, he was the one person who, as it were, passed the test. On his own merits, he would have passed. He could have passed on to glory. But you see, he chose to pass on to glory in a particular way that would open the door for all mankind, you and I, to also pass on one day to glory. And you see, the very heart of it was the total unselfishness of the act. The total unselfishness of the act. The cross was actually an outworking of something that had taken place prior to it. I am, of course, referring to the whole drama that played out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here we have the living God on earth facing this terrible, terrible event, ghastly beyond human comprehension, pain without measure, horrific, worse than that, the whole sin of mankind dumped on him. That would be enough to crush even the strongest of us. And he knew what was coming. He wasn't ignorant. He didn't stumble into this whole thing blindly. He was well aware. He knew the heart of men. He knew the world system. He knew what the world system does or tries to do to righteousness and upstanding and godliness. He knew all that. He'd experienced it in measure before, and he'd read about it with the prophets of old. And so we find him in the garden, begging his disciples to help him through, needing prayer. Just think about it. The Lord himself needed prayer from his supporters. How much more do we? But as we know, they didn't really rise to the occasion. They were overcome with sleep. And so he was left alone there. And the turning moment, the defining moment of history, although, yes, it was played out in the cross, the defining moment was when he said to the Father, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not my will, but yours be done." And it was then when the angels of God came to help him, as we know, and history took its course, and mankind hung the Lord of glory on the cross. And having gone through all that agony, having gone through those 6 hours of terrible affliction, the time came when in his heart of hearts he could hear the Father say, "It's enough." And he uttered those words, "It's finished. It's finished." Now you see, that great event still resonates through history, and it should resonate in your and my heart, living now some 2,000 years later. But it is possible for that resounding sound to grow dim. And that's why you and I need to, on a regular basis, as it were, recognize it, resuscitate it, tune into it, yield to it. But I'd rather put it this way. We should, on a regular basis, day to day, not just on Good Friday or on Sundays, day to day, allow the cross to do its work. What do I mean by that? Well, you see, the heart of the cross, the spirit of the cross was, this is not what I want, but it's what God wants. Brothers and sisters, for you and I to live a full life on this earth, this should be, in a term that comes from an old building practice, the plumb line of our life. A plumb line was a leaded weight hung from the top of a building or scaffolding as the building was in progress, just to make sure that the walls were in line. A small deviation at the base would end up in a major, should we say, Leaning Tower of Pisa event at the top. And that can happen to us so easily. The pressures of life. The God of this world is hell-bent on pushing you and I off course all the time. He has many strategies for doing it. But the heart of every single one of his strategies, the heart of every sin of mankind, is doing things our way. And not just our way, but for us, for ourselves. The message of the cross is simply, I crossed out. Not me anymore. Not me anymore. In choosing our life's work, how do we make the cross work for us there? How do we allow it to work in our lives? Father God, what I am doing, is this just for me? Is this just for my happiness, my comfort, and my family? And God is concerned about all of those things indeed. But at the end of the day, is this more about you? Ultimately, will this serve you, give you the glory with my life? In relationships as well. Dealing with people, probably the hardest thing for us humans to accomplish on this earth. What is the question? What will make the difference? Is this just about me, or is this about others? In our whole approach to worshiping God, our God service as it were, what is the question? Is this what makes me comfortable? Is this just convenient for me? Or is this about you? Is this about you? I believe the church at large and us as individuals, more than ever, need to go back to the cross. Need to go back to the cross. Let the cross cut deeply into our selfishness. Let the cross cut deeply into our own personal agenda. Allow the course correction of the cross to work on us on a daily basis. Allow God's resurrection power to be released through us. On Easter Sunday, of course, we rejoice in the great resurrection. And, let's be clear, God's desire for every single one of us is to live a resurrected life. Paul's cry was that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Here's a man who turned the world upside down, had seen signs and wonders, raised the dead, been taken up to heaven, had come back, heard sounds inexpressible. The same man is crying out that I might know him and the power, the glory of his resurrection. And he wasn't just talking about the one day when he would die. He was talking about his daily life, to see the power of God flowing through him like never before. That should be our prayer. And I know many people desire that earnestly. But let's understand this one thing. Let's make this crystal clear in our minds. Before there's a resurrection, there has to be a cross. Before the resurrection, there has to be the cross. My prayer is that every one of us this Good Friday season, we would contemplate these things and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to take that cross of Christ and work it deep in our hearts, that we might be changed beings, a greater blessing, better prepared for the work of the Master. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.
Thank you.